Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this December the 8th on the West Coast, now December the 9th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome all those ladies and gentlemen listening around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network, whether live or on an archive, and before we bring on tonight's guest, I just want to let you know this is going to be one fantastic show. A new guest, some topics that we've covered before, but not in the depth that we're going to cover them tonight. And before I get into my opening monologue, I want to share a thought with you from Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell. It really is a prophetic song done many, many years ago, earlier in their careers. Ain't nothing like the real thing, that's for sure. When you consider the amount of psyops going on regarding the TSA and people on the internet, actually these stories are even reaching mainstream media. When they do, that's a signpost that it's a psyop, that there's propaganda being pumped into your minds, into your senses, into your emotions, to get you to be angry, to get you to be disgusted, to get you to be fed up with the infringements of your civil and your common law rights as sovereign beings created by God. A couple of weeks ago, we had this story come out about a lady named Meg McLean, who is an alleged journalist, sometimes talk show host with a radio station in New Hampshire. And my own research showed that that was a bogus story. And then within a day, after that, or the same evening, the information came forward from some Marines that were there and said that incident didn't happen as described. So why do they put that out? Why these untruths about what the TSA is doing? We had a more recent story about a wheelchair-bound woman named Tammy Banovac, and I did a bunch of research on that name, and it comes up a couple of times, but it's in relation to this story, that she was strip-searched and left sitting in a wheelchair in the Oklahoma City airport. Now, I remind you, Miami is only about 30 miles from Homestead Air Force Base, where that's a shut-down Air Force Base that's been known to be one of the central receiving areas of all the illegal drugs that are smuggled into the country. So it's used by the CIA, it's used by the military. And Oklahoma City, with its proximity to Tinker Air Force Base, which was a critical part of my research on the now no-legged Mac Daddy in Washington, D.C., the usurper in office, it was instrumental in Operation Paperclip, the importation of thousands and thousands of Nazi spies. They like to tell us scientists. Yes, there were some scientists, but there were also many spies. And that operation was primarily run out of Oklahoma. As I looked at the YouTube video of Ms. Banovac sitting in a wheelchair in a brassiere panties with a long-haired, shaggy-haired dog sitting on her lap, it appeared very strange to me. We've talked about this on past shows, but I want to put this thing to rest for once and for all. It's a psyop, folks. That situation didn't even occur at the airport. This was using Hollywood photographic and film techniques inserted into the video. Careful examination shows that. You can see the head turn, yes. You can see an arm move, the hand move, petting the dog. The dog gets up, licks the lady's bare legs. She's wearing basically her birthday suit, a brassiere and panties. That's it. And the person taking the video is standing amongst the TSA workers behind the scenes. And they give him a mandatory shooing away, turn off that camera, get out of here, all staged to make it look like this person was chased away. And I submit to you that when the film was taken, this was all acted out to make it look like they were doing their job. And Miss Banovac, or whatever you want to call her, Tammy, was not even there. They made her up to look like Tammy from the movie. And you don't see a facial muscle move other than eyelids and eyelashes. She blinks a few times. She rolls her head sort of like a bobblehead doll. It's not a turning of the head. It's a swinging. It's a pendulum swing. And looking at her neck, you can imagine the cables that run up her neck to her head to facilitate moving the head. But this was filmed elsewhere, put into the photo, just to make people angry. To make you angry so that you will eventually take some form of an RFID chip, go through DNA samples, blood tests, just invasions of every aspect of your privacy, probably retinal scans and fingerprints and anything else they can scrape off your body and maybe even put into it. And I talked to a lot of people about this, and most, after carefully looking at an enlarged version, you can click on the little YouTube player box in the lower right-hand corner. There's a square. When you click on that square, the picture opens up to full screen, and you can see that the head and the neck are totally a different color than the rest of the body. The body has a tan. There are a few tan lines on it. And the face, which would boast a tan, and the neck are pink. They're not even, they don't even look like normal flesh. And certainly you see this blank gaze in the eyes. Now, it's quite a remarkable feat that they accomplished. But I got to thinking about how many other types of beings or creatures or automatons that they've already manufactured, and maybe some are actually moving around among us. There very well could be some sitting in Congress. They sure act like it. But a few people asked me the same question. What do you think she was thinking? Well, if you understand what an automaton is, unless there's a full-blown computer there and it can only operate by the computer program, Tammy would not be thinking anything. But if I could imagine what she might be thinking, it might be something like this.
Yes, I need a spouse. I want a nice liver, two beaverish golden retriever, and a little white house. I want to get married. I need to cook meals. I want to pack cute little lunches for my Brady Bunches, then read Daniel Steele. I want to escape this rat race I've created. I'm feeling enervated. I don't care if I make it, I just want to bake a sugar cake for you to take to work in the morning. And I'll stay home cleaning the dishes and keeping your wishes all warm. That's why I was born. I wanna hear the sweet tune of Sally's little room as she zooms around my room as I exhume the gloom of my shallow life. I wanna be simple and honest and dimple, 'cause I am your wife. I will never tarry, I'm not even torn. I wanna get married. That's why I was born.
In the words of an 18-year-old Nellie Mackay, I Want to Get Married. And before that, we heard Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell and Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing. That sort of drives the message home here. Now, I read many of the posts regarding this android that was sitting in a wheelchair and then put into an image to make it appear that this event actually occurred in real time. If you go to YouTube, you can just put in YouTube and Nancy Banovac, B-A-N-O-V-A-C, and that's probably still there. A lot of men actually fell for this android and talked about marriage and things like that, and the edgy side of marriage. With that, I'm going to bring on a documentarian. He's appeared on many radio shows. He has produced a marvelous film exposing the CAFR reports and the behind-the-scenes activities that ignore those reports. He's worked on that with a former guest of Evident Footprints, Walter Burian. And more recently, he's dealt with this very issue, the going through the scanners, the pat-downs at TSA, airports across the country, and a sequence of videos that he produced called National Opt-Out Day. Our guest, welcome to the show, Mr. Clint Richardson. Clint, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much, Don. Good to be here.
I have to warn you that you're in for surprises on this show. it's not the average radio show.
Well, you are not an average man, my friend.
Well, I hope you understood the message, at least. If you'd like to comment about the this situation and some of the others, by all means, go ahead.
Well, yeah, we're talking about, while you're talking about the body scanners and all that, I actually just posted a new post on my blog today. Someone actually sent me, after watching that video on YouTube, it sent me all of the U.S. code that deals with the majority of Homeland Security and domestic security, and pointed out that all of domestic security, Homeland Security, IRS, Internal Revenue Code, so many different offices are all executively appointed, and most of it is not statutory law. It is, in fact, what they would call prima facie law, meaning that the TSA and all these guys at the airport actually have no authority over you without your consent. Mm-hmm. And as I'm sure you know, consent is one of the most important words, probably the most important weapon you can have in the language of law. And so, essentially, these guys you can walk through the airport because Homeland Security and domestic security is literally non-statutory law, meaning they have absolutely no authority over you. You can bypass the scanners, and I intend to go to the airport very soon and do just that. So, not give my consent and walk right through.
Yes. Now, I made a comment, and that's very interesting what you just described. I made a comment during my little monologue there about what I perceive this is about in problem, reaction, solution. They create mm-hmm. the problem, everybody reacts, and then they clamor for a solution. And the solution is the one that they've been striving to ram down our throats for the past 10 years anyway. So, are you in agreement with that? I'm
wholeheartedly. I would I would compare it to just about any other time that they've done the same trick. You know, they wanted to get so many things in that they had to do something to get them in. Let's take the Patriot Act. Okay, we write the Patriot Act, we get it all ready to go, and then we cause a little something to happen to the World Trade Center. Oh, look at there. We just happen to have this nice little act all ready to go. And here it is. thanks to the terrorists, now we have the Patriot Act. You know, then you have, I don't know, what was it that the full body scanners, how about those? Full body scanners, they were on their way to the airports, ready to go. And suddenly we have the underwear bomber, who was escorted in by, some unknown guy in a suit, and they bypassed security. Oh, well, we have an underwear bomber. Therefore, we need to have heightened security, so we need the body scanners. Well, there you go. All of these things are always implemented and ready to go before the event that calls for them ever happens. So, now we step where we are now, and you're absolutely right. People are highly, highly concerned over body searches, pretty much what I would call molestation, if not rape in some cases. What's the alternative? Well, we have a problem because we need to search you. We need to go 2 inches under your skin with radiation. What's the solution? What's the solution? Oh, well, you know, my best guess is what do you think? I think it's going to be biometrics of some sort. What do you think?
Well, I find this rather interesting that while all this is being ramped up, they're building a 1 million square foot data center in Utah. Halliburton is involved in that.
It's right in my backyard, actually.
Yes, they're getting this. This is sort of to see if they're going to be able to follow their roadmap, if you want to call it that, to implementing this whole plan. Under the guise of, well, people need to have these IDs because a lot of people don't use passports and occasionally they have to fly around. I think of them telling the weathermen to tell us that they're spraying chemtrails in the sky to block radar. Now, how does that help the FAA traffic controllers? How does that help the pilots who are flying millions of passengers from city to city across the country and around the world, that they would do this? This is absurd. Everything is so fictional, you couldn't sell it as fantasy in a comic book anymore.
Yeah, the other aspect of this that I don't think a lot of people really bring forward is that, you know, the travel, when I was at the airport on that national opt-out day, handing out informational papers on radiation and DNA destroying waves that are coming out of these sheets, these machines, that, you know, nobody really mentioned the fact that air travel was down significantly from what I've ever seen. And I used to work for the airlines. You know, Thanksgiving Day, the day before Thanksgiving Day, is always the busiest day of the year. And it looked like an absolutely normal, if not abnormal, flying day. There was very little wait in the line, so there's definitely a push to stop people from traveling and to stop people from enjoying some of the finer things in life, travel being one of them. So I think that needs to be mentioned as well.
Yeah, I actually brought up the issue earlier this week, and I think last week, that it could also be another plot to play put options. Let's say shorted options. They're now attempting to take over the airlines as well, like they did with General Motors. And what better way if they played put options on declining revenues in the airline industry? Somebody's going to make a ton of money, number one, and we never find out about it until they've already made that money and they've already absconded with it. But if they're trying to bring down some airlines and then, again, have a federal bailout and make this, federal ownership, which will be handed out to another country whose bonds or certificates have gone belly up because they've stolen the proceeds from those. The international community is not taking any of this very lightly. And of course, we're not hearing the truth about what's going on, but that's another aspect of this that deserves closer examination. I don't know if you would agree with that, but that's my
certainly
take.
Certainly. I mean, what you're talking about is an absolute monopoly on air travel. Now, the problem is, you know, everybody, you're referring to the put options that were put on planes, you know, prior to 9/11. But I mean,
no, I'm talking about
that's
right
just
now.
Touching the what's that?
I'm talking about right now. Didn't mean to cut
off. Well, yeah,
off.
Sure. Comparatively, yeah, that's just touching the iceberg, though. I mean, the tip of the iceberg. You know, what happened with 9/11 in reality is that trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars got sucked out of the economy because the stock market went way, way, way down and then back up. And all those profits on the way down and on the way up all, you know, disappeared, essentially, went into the politicians and lawyers and attorneys' pockets. So the put options on the planes are just one small little piece of these type of, you know, that held I can never say that word, the dialect of mm-hmm. problem, reaction, solution. You know, you create the problem, you have the reaction. And in this case, though, you know, when we get into the CAFR information, it's almost a redundancy because government already owns, literally, and this is very, very provable, government literally already owns controlling interest in these airlines through their stock investments. So if they wanted to do that, they could very well do that. They could pretty much cause anything to happen in any market at this point because they have so much ownership, stock ownership, in all Fortune 500 companies, in all major corporations, both domestic and foreign. So it's not just that they control the market, but they actually own the corporations by controlling investment, by controlling stock investment. And so it's a fixed game. They know what the market's going to do because they regulate and control that market. They own those corporations. I mean, it's a really vicious Ouroboros type of situation, you know, snake eating its own tail. It's incredible. And, you know, this goes back to the CAFR situation. This is all reported in their top 10 holdings on their comprehensive annual financial reports for each individual government. And there's over 185,000 different governments all across the United States. And, you know, we're talking over $100 trillion that the government is hiding from the people through these reports. So the put option concept, yeah, you know, they'll do it, definitely. Is it a major play? Is it a major thing? Not really for these guys because they already own the corporations. They already own the airlines, literally.
Yeah, well, what you're talking about, Clint, is actually unlawful. In fact, they've created laws against these monopolies, and yet they're pretending like when there is someone caught committing a crime in the stock market, in one of these brokerage firms, mortgage mm-hmm. company, holding companies, insurance companies, they're acting like they're doing their job. Oh, we caught one, you know.
Sure. The patsies, yes. Well, you also have to consider that, you know, you're talking about the very government who sets those rules and, you know, is in charge of prosecuting the people who are doing that are the same people who own these corporations, are committing the crime, essentially, the monopolistic takeover of everything. So we're sitting here trying to fight within this corporate system of government, and all governments, by the way, are corporations.
Yes.
Again, proven from within this documentary. You're fighting a system that sets its own laws and sets the laws that you have to fight it within. While it operates from outside of those very laws it sets. We have no chance of attacking this system as we are within the law, the current set of laws that are available to us. We must change that system of government. We're not talking about getting our guns out and shooting and, you know, rushing Washington. We're talking about changing the system of government, changing it from a corporate structure that feeds off the carcass of this dying country, and changing the beneficiary of all these funds and all of this money back to the people of the United States. And that's where Walter Burian comes in.
Yes. Now, you've compelled me, and I'm familiar with what, and I have an idea what you're going to say, but for the listening audience, you've compelled me to have to ask the $64,000 question. How do you propose that that should occur? Or would you say how Walter has proposed it should occur?
Well, and, you know, bearing in mind I have no association with Walter other than that I'm proud that I can call him my friend. I spent a good time with him helping him make his documentary. I got no monetary compensation, no nothing from this guy. I'm just trying to help him. And, you know, most of the reason I did this documentary is to help him get this out, because I have not seen any other solution. We all can talk about all of these other things. You know, we can talk about the shadowy elite. We can talk about all these problems. But when it gets down to it, you trust your eyes. When you see these CAFRs and you see the amounts of money that government actually has hiding from us, not reporting it to us except in these documents that no taxpayer hardly ever sees, again, it's the truth. As the song alluded to, it's the real thing. It's not theory. It's not speculation. There's nothing in this documentary that you can dispute once you get past the half-hour mark or so. And yeah, it's just absolutely taken right from these reports. And corporate governance is one of those aspects, and we'll get into that. But Walter's tax retirement funds, and you can go to taxretirement.com to read a little bit about that. It's not the greatest of websites, but it might give you an idea. Basically, what we're talking about here, I mean, what's the real problem in government? It's that it's a corporation that has absolutely no representation, first of all, for the people. It is a corporation, so they're, you know, the primary function of a corporation is to make a profit for its shareholders. Okay, that is the basic definition of a corporation. Now, if it's not a representative government, which obviously it's not because it is a corporation, the real problem becomes transparency. Now, if you had a representative government, there should be no secrets whatsoever in government. I mean, all the books should be wide open, because there should be no opportunity to steal and cheat and lie and embezzle. You know, there shouldn't be that option. So one of the things that Walter's TRF, his tax retirement fund, would do is to completely open the books of whichever venue. And when I say venue, I mean your state, city, county, school districts, you know, all of these different governments, individual governments, can be put on this type of system. And it generally masks or imitates the pension fund system, where it builds a fund. And instead of the people in that venue, in that government, that local government, paying taxes, instead these funds, which obviously if the CalSTRS pension fund has $118 billion, and the CalSTRS pension fund or the CalPERS pension fund has $198 billion, and that's billion with a B, dollars in it, and across the country there's $26 trillion. Dollars in pension funds alone, government pension funds. Well, we know they're successful. They're doing something right. So all we have to do is set a new system, get those guys to come over to our system, start working for the people instead of for the corporate structure. This law, this tax retirement plan, would be passed. It would ensure complete transparency. It would ensure that anyone who even tried to do anything illegal, to steal, to move money to funds or some other place where they're trying to hide it, would be instantly arrested. They'd have absolutely no wall or shield to hide behind, because Walter's tax retirement team would be right there absolutely auditing everything every day. So it also would give incentive to have the government shrink. You know, you don't need a big government, and the smaller you make that government and the more you invest in the local economy, which is, you know, that's unheard of with today's government, the more you invest in that local economy, the more that the fund managers and the people in government, the more money they'll make, because they're improving society. And it's like a whole paradigm shift, and it's what you're talking about on your show more often than not, which is relearning who you are, your ethics, your morals, your values, your things that have been lost or are being breeded out of us through our horrible public school system now, which is very purposeful.
And the media.
So, I mean, that's a tax retirement fund in a nutshell.
Yeah. We have this issue of all this money that's been stolen and shipped off to offshore accounts, given to foreign banks that have been part of this scandal. And a lot of this has been a promise, whether it's promissory notes or just dragging their feet, making excuses. And I'm of the knowledge that there are at least 70 countries in the world that are really about to take a stand once and for all against all of this corruption. Now, this isn't conspiracy theory. This is conspiracy fact. These are facts. And what do you propose be done about, the acquisition of these stolen monies, whether they've been unlawfully given to a foreign bank or a foreign corporation or to a former U.S. corporation that has left for the purpose of increasing the profit margin on the basis of the cost of raw goods that they use in manufacturing and the labor costs and the shipping costs and the whole package. You see, what they're doing is the reason these jobs have left is to bring this country to its knees and to empower other countries that have a legitimate gripe with us for having been hoodwinked and bamboozled financially. China, Russia, Germany, France. Now, I'm not into this royal thing either. This secret colonialism that's been going on for 230 years is a big issue too. Are you talking about that as well?
Well, I mean, this is a serious issue, and you know, one of the downsides, of Walter's thing, if something sounds too good to be true, it generally is. And so I'm here to tell you that Walter's solution, his tax retirement funds, are not easy. You'll have to get it on the ballot. You'll have to vote for it and make it statutory law within your venue in your state. So, I mean, there's that to contend with rigged voting machines and everything else. Then it's going to take time to build that and start replacing these governments. What my personal view on that subject is, I honestly, I don't know what to do about it. What I do know is that what we're talking about are corporations. Corporations are essentially considered artificial people.
Fictitious.
Right? If you have a corporation, you have an automaton. You have an artificial person. It has no emotion. It has no feeling. It is a corporation. That's what your government is. Each individual government. No, my government here, I mean, they're not even afraid to admit it, because my government here, when I got a letter about a parking ticket, that letter came from the Salt Lake City Corporation. Now I live in a smaller town called Draper, and in order to get a water bill and water transferred into my name, I had to contact the Draper City Corporation. Okay, so we are talking about private, not public, but private corporations. Corporations, even though they are people too, according to the Supreme Court, which is another corporation, even though they're people too, they're artificial persons, and they can be dissolved. And I think that's what needs to happen. The corporate structure, the entire corporate structure, needs to be scratched and start over, because it's not working. It is absolutely not working. The solution to that, I can't even begin to tell you. The only thing I've seen, again, it's not an instant change, but again, it's Walter Burian's tax retirement funds.
Mm-hmm.
But the real problem is that we're not dealing with people. We're dealing with artificial people. We're dealing with corporations.
Yeah.
So
the question, even, you know, I studied Walter's writings in this regard. My general understanding is that a person pays taxes for 8 years into this system, and then they are vested in the system. They don't, they're not required to keep paying into it for purposes of drawing a pension or any type of benefits that might arise. And it's brilliant. It should work.
It is. But it really is, because it's not just that it, you know, most people what attracts them is, oh, really? No taxes? That's great. I love it. Let's do it. But the reality of the situation is that it pays for life to be beautiful. It takes care of all the things that taxes would usually take care of. And it reinvests. If you've got a good idea, I mean, can you imagine being in a world where, you know, you just come up with the cure for cancer and the government wants it and they want to fund you for it? You know, you just come up with the newest widget that will save a whole day's worth of work in order to make something. You know, it's not going to be some corporation that comes along and forces it out of you or puts you in jail, you know, or the FDA come along and try to steal your patents, you know, something like that. Instead, no, the government, you bring it to the people who are good people, because the people are watching them, and you present your idea and you get funded for it. That's what's beautiful about this. You're talking about years, a million years of prosperity if these things ever were to take off. And if they took off in just one venue, they would spread like wildfire, because the township or city next door would not want to keep paying taxes when all of a sudden their neighbor has no property tax and everything's good and, you know, all these tyrannical laws are gone. So,
yeah. Well, you were more than kind in describing, you know, my involvement in bringing consciousness to people, and that's with my guests as well. I mean, they all do that, or they won't be on the show. It's sort of a standard that I've set for the quality of shows that I want to do and the type of information I want to bring out. Now, when we look at the potential for people to actually discover their true inner power and their higher self and how they relate to the universe, the universal laws of abundance would manifest all the wealth anyone could ever imagine having. That is icing on the cake, really. We have to bake the cake, and part of that is to get people to recognize that there are problems. Yes, they're massive. We're dealing really with organized crime masquerading as leadership. Mm. We are in essence kowtowing to a cult, a secretive cult that doesn't even want to tell us its name. You know, when you start considering all these things, it's like giving without recognizing who has done this to us and doing something about that once and for all. It's like giving the keys and the combinations to the cells and the vaults to all the criminals that are in jail for actually having committed a crime, and those who aren't in jail for having committed these crimes and are committing them while we speak at this moment.
One of my biggest problems with this whole system is, in fact, the prison system, because our prison system is when you sit back and actually put all the pieces together, it's horrific to think about, because, oh boy, I mean, we're talking, you know, I was just looking at this the other day. Have you ever heard of a company called Unicor?
Yes, I have.
I mean, Unicor is, it might as well be Walmart, because Unicor is the, see if I can remember what it stands for, but it's the federal prison system's catalog, essentially, for what their prisoners make. I mean, you can go to certain websites and see, like, just for instance, they make office furniture, but they don't just make, you know, a couple of things. They make a whole line of office furniture from within these prisons. And it's not just chairs, carts, stands, cabinets, wardrobes, bookcases, corner units, credenzas, desks, hanging pedestals, lateral files, lecterns. I mean, I could go on and on and on. Sofas, tables, it just goes on and on. And that's just furniture. We're talking a Walmart-style corporation that sells all of the products that are being made in prisons. Well, what's happening? Okay, we have private corporations acting as courts. Now, in L.A., we found out that the courts are actually owned by some of the judges out there, and those judges are writing, you know, bad checks on dummy accounts that aren't registered with the IRS, and the IRS isn't doing anything about it. And meanwhile, they're sending a whole generation, a whole, you know, 1-2% of the population are going to prison, 1 out of every 100 person. 25% of the world's prisoners are in America, in the private prison system in America. And they're the ones that are making all these products. You want to know where all the jobs are going? the contracts are going to prison because they pay these guys 60 cents an hour while they're making all this furniture and all these things that they're making. Unicor, UNICOR. Mm-hmm. I mean, go check it out, people. It's the Walmart of the prison business, and they give each other contracts. Each of these governments go and they get special contracts to furnish their offices or to, you know, buy clothes for their work clothes for their construction. It's just amazing the racket that's going on. These are prisoners going through the private prison system, which is a corporation of the corporation that is the federal government. And, you know, it's all done because the 14th Amendment to the Constitution states that slavery is actually legal if you're convicted of a crime. So the whole thing is an incredible racket. And these are the things that need to stop, because I know that millions and millions of my brothers and sisters in this country are in prison for victimless crimes, for crimes against the state, not crimes against a person. They've not broken God's law, God's law simply being do no harm to others or their property. All they've done is smoked a joint or done something that the state doesn't like. And they set up these laws and these codes and all these violations just so that they can put you through these private systems called courts, these private corporations that do not represent you, and throw you into these prisons so that they can use you as cheap labor.
And the irony of this, the irony of this whole thing, Clint, is that we have paid for these institutions. They call them state prisons or county prisons or federal prisons. We pay for them, and they are privatized. The security comes from foreign countries. Wackenhut being a big name involved. Mm-hmm. it's just corruption all of it.
Well, so, and I'll tell you what, it all, once again, as I said in the beginning, it all falls under this U.S. code. All these appointed offices fall under this U.S. code. I'd like to invite everybody to go to my blog. The blog site is Reality Blogger, so the word reality and blogger with one G, .wordpress.com. So realityblogger.wordpress.com. It's the first story up there. It says, Consent, Why the IRS, Domestic, and Homeland Security Have No Lawful Power. I just invite you to just read that. Take into consideration all of these points. Understand what consent is, and that these guys have absolutely no power over you as a free and sovereign individual of the United States. the Republic of the United States, it still stands, you know, one nation under God, that's just been essentially usurped by this corporation. If you do not give this corporation, this federal corporation especially, any power, if you do not consent to its power, then it does not have authority to do anything for you or against you, because you do not consent. It's very important information, and it needs to be disseminated just as much as this CAFR information. And the CAFR website, or the CAFR where the actual documentary is, which I highly recommend, is thecorporationnation.com.
So. Yes. Now, Clint, if you don't mind, I would like you to talk about your experience, which you documented in the National Opt-Out Day. And even Ron Paul commented on that he felt we should have one. If you care to. I know you have a lot of things that you could talk about here, but we have a limited
amount. It's really important because, you know, I went in there with my group of four people. Fortunately, one guy had a camera, and he likes to film. So as soon as he saw, basically we had a letter, just a one sheet of paper on both sides that had all kinds of information. Basically what I did the night before is I stayed up, and I found all kinds of quotes from prominent scientists, researchers, universities, showing that these scanners, well, first of all, that there is no safe level of radiation. That's the most important thing we can say. There is no safe level of radiation, period, end of story. Second of all, these scanners, these backscatter scanners, are designed to actually penetrate the skin, and by doing so, they unravel your strand, your DNA strand. This causes cancer. So the cancer, you know, the quotes on cancer are, you know, I couldn't fit them all on the page. So basically what we were handing out was just a paper. Mm-hmm. That said, is this constitutional? Do they keep the pictures, which they do? They catalog these pictures, these naked pictures. And do they cause cancer? And yes, they do. That's basically what was on the sheet. Now, what these guys, these police did after about half an hour of handing these out, we got about 150 or so sheets handed out to all the people in line. And we were in the, you know, just before you had to have a ticket to get into the airport, so we're obeying all the rules that they had posted. All of a sudden, the police come up to me, and not just one police, the airport police, but six airport police come over to me and start essentially harassing me, saying I need to stop handing those out, that I'm breaking code, not breaking the law, but I'm breaking code, which is airport-specific code. And you know, he quoted me a code, and I'm going to pull that code up while I'm talking here and read you what that code actually was, because it had nothing to do with what I was doing. But if you read the short version of the code, it sounds like it absolutely says I can't do what I'm doing. Basically, what I learned from this video, and these two videos are also posted on thecorporationnation.com. You can watch those there. What I learned is that as I'm talking to these guys and they're telling me I'm breaking these codes, what I came to understand is they were telling me that I needed a permit for free speech. And I was just, you know, of course, flabbergasted. I was like, do you hear what you're saying? And, you know, basically they kept repeating the same thing over and over. No, you need a permit for free speech. You need to go over to the office. And then he proceeded to tell me that once I get that permit, then they have the authority to arrest me because now I have to follow all these rules. I've basically given up my rights in lieu of a contract that I sign, which is a permit or a driver's license or anything else. You all of a sudden have to follow all those rules. You've given up your rights of free speech in lieu of a contract. And that's what he was trying to get me to do. And I don't know if I ever really got through to those guys or not, that, you know, as to what they were doing and why they were doing it. And I even asked them who they worked for. And he said Salt Lake City Corp. And I said, well, Salt Lake City Corporation, you know, you work for a private corporation that doesn't represent the people, da-da-da-da-da. Gave him my whole routine. So, I mean, it was just all around a wonderful experience. And, you know, nothing, you know, I didn't back down once. I decided to leave instead of pressing the issue just so I could go back and fight another day. I didn't want to give them any, you know, eventually you can slip up and you can say something that can get you in trouble. But, I mean, you know, I asked them, well, okay, so when they tell you to start bashing heads of people like me, you know, it's going to be the end of America. And the guy's response to me was, well, you got to feed your family somehow.
Yeah, and even for the sake of the
nation. A frightening thing.
Yeah. You mentioned you had to get a permit. Now, one would conclude that they were implying that you go to the airport authority for this, or do you go to
the local airport office. But you see, here's the thing. Again, I did not consent to getting a permit, and therefore all they could do was stand around me and not do anything. I asked, am I being detained? No, you're not being detained. Because I didn't have the permit, they had no power. I mean, it was brilliant. It's just the most brilliant concept ever. And once you really start understanding it, you suddenly feel very empowered. Let me read the code that he actually quoted me. And again, this is an airport-specific code for the Salt Lake City Corporation airport code. It is 16.12.220, and the name of it is Advertising Materials. So what he read me was the short version, which is all he had. The short version said, no person shall post, distribute, or display signs, advertisements, circulars, printed material, or written matter at the airport without the written permission of the director. And that's all he had. And that's all he showed me. Well, okay, that's fine. It sounds like it applies to me. And I knew better because I knew there was more to it. But I disagreed and I said, well, you're going to show me the full code. I knew it because the second sentence, which is the full code, says this section shall not apply when such distribution or displays are for religious, charitable, or political purposes, which completely invalidates the whole code with respect to me because I was not advertising. I was not asking for money. You know, nothing about this code applies to what I was doing. Now, I called the airport police, and I questioned him about this, and he said, he was like a lieutenant. They must have quoted you the wrong code. I'll call you back when I find one that applies to you. And I'm like, I don't think you understand. I'm going to turn this into a big issue. I'm going to get a constitutional lawyer and sue your butts for infringing on my rights. Do you understand? Oh, I'll call you back. And he called me back a little later, and he found something that sounded a little more in tune with, you know, possibly taking away my rights. But these guys just don't grasp what they're doing. And part of the reason I stayed there so long was to try to tell them, hey, look at what you're doing, sir. Look, do you understand what's happening here? Do you understand what you are doing? You are infringing on the very beautiful rights and freedoms of this country, and you're doing it for a private corporation, a for-profit private corporation. And you're saying you'll bash my head in to feed your family. Do you not see the ironic misery of this situation? I mean, yeah, it was an incredible experience, and I can't wait to go back, to be honest.
Yeah, it was very obvious that they were trying to get you to trip up and say that you were passing out advertising, and that was
sure.
You were very emphatic and direct in telling them, no, this is information.
Yeah.
And that code that you read didn't even use the word information, did it?
No, not really. And, you know, I mean, it could be construed, you know, lots of this stuff is interpretational, just like the Constitution is unfortunately, in a lot of cases, left open to interpretation. But the next sentence just completely wipes out any, you know, anything to do with me. And, of course, they exclude that from the little card that he carries in his pocket. So
now,
I mean, it's brilliant.
What do you think would have happened, Clint, if you would have just stood there without the flyers and just talked to people and told them what the flyers said?
I think he would have probably tried to quote the same code because it's what he's used to and he doesn't know any better. He's just a corporate thug, you know, jackbooted. And the guy was pretty nice, don't get me wrong. But, you know, the important part is that I told them, even though I didn't know what I know now, after days of research, I told them that I essentially, you know, that code does not apply to me. I've heard it before. You know, they've tried to use it before with us with advertising when we're holding up banners, and it just doesn't apply. And so, I mean, in my own way, I actually did not consent to that code as having power over me, but I just didn't say it right. But he knew that I wasn't consenting to it. And because of that, and because I refused to go get a permit, like I said, there just was no power over that they could do anything. And, you know, with six police, airport police, three undercover police, and two Homeland Security goons in their cheesy suits all surrounding me, I mean, it was absolutely incredible. And by the way, the media, ABC News, was there, and they saw the whole thing, knew exactly what was happening, and they spun the story like you wouldn't believe. They spun the story to make me look like I was ineffectual, that I hadn't passed out any flyers, and that the people I was passing out flyers to argued, and that's just not the case. And so I'm actually in talks with another channel, a lady who does her own stories here in Salt Lake City, and she might take it on and actually expose this. So keep your fingers crossed there. It'd be great to get some mainstream media coverage. I of course it's it's a pipe dream, but we'll see what happens. So.
Yeah, I find it very intriguing that they would go to such an extent to harass one person. Meanwhile, 100 or 1,000 terrorists could have walked by them. Of course, I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek.
Yes, well, we all know who the terrorists are, right? I mean, government is the terrorist. The definition of terrorism is government trying to, you know, persuade their people. Every terrorist incident has proved to be Mossad or CIA involved. I mean, it's getting to the point where they're not even hardly hiding it anymore. Like I said, the underwear bomber was escorted into the airport past security. I mean, the whole thing is a joke, this terrorism thing. So, you know, my idea, Don, is I actually want to go back and do the same exact thing, but I want to hand out blank pieces of paper and see what they say to that. I think that would be hilarious. And just say, oh, this is your constitution. This is your rights. Don't go through the scanners. You know, they cause cancer. Here's your you know, if you want to take notes, you can. but have them come up and say, oh, you can't pass that out. I'll be like, well, what, a blank piece of paper? You know, and just watch them squirm, because I'm sure they already know who I am.
They probably watched your video too, and gone through it with a fine tooth comb. But I don't see really any recourse, unless they just want to enforce more illegal, unlawful, draconian legislation to further silence everyone. When they do it to you, they're doing it to everyone. That's the point you're trying to make, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. And that's why I say, I mean, I'm going to go back into that airport once I have all this code under my belt, and I'm going to walk. I'm actually going to escort a 70-year-old man that's going to be flying here pretty soon, and I'm going to escort him through the security checkpoint without stopping, without showing ID, without anything. And we're just going to walk right through, and I'm going to simply say that I do not consent to your authority. And unless you're detaining me, I'm free to go, and I'm just going to keep walking. And, you know, I'm going to get it on film, have a microphone, hidden microphone, and we're going to see what happens. And if, you know, if I go to jail, okay, whatever. But pretty sure I'm betting my shirt that there's going to be no argument, because I've seen people go through, just say, okay, I'm tired of this, I'm just going to go through, and they, you know, put their shoes on and they walk through and take their bag, don't put it through the screener, the scanner, and these guys don't do anything about it. Because in their own way, they just presented their non-consent to the scanners and to the searches. So
yes. Well, it's intriguing. Again, give out your website, if you will, and I want to let the listening audience know that you will be back with us on Tuesday, the 21st of December. We're going to continue this discussion and maybe have some more to share about your
yes, sir.
Your
escapades. Oh, by then, maybe. The documentary is on thecorporationnation.com. The opt-out day is also on there. And then also my blog is realityblogger.wordpress.com. So realityblogger.wordpress.com.
Okay. If you want to stay with us, I'm going to close out with another song. This one I'm going to dedicate to all the folks out there, people who commented on the YouTube page of Tammy Banovac's video, and the TSA workers that actually weren't there to see her.
Hold it. Listen.
I sure hope Tammy's not embarrassed by that showing of affection by the Temptations. Well, Clint, I want to thank you for being on Evident Footprints, and I look forward to your next appearance. Any closing comment you'd like to make before we say goodnight?
No, just to definitely go check out the Corporation Nation video. It's long. It's 3 hours, but it is an education in and of itself, and it is it's a tool that you can use to wake people up. It's quite important. So thank you, Don, for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate having you on. Thanks for staying up so late. And I want to let the listening audience know that I have viewed this movie twice, and it's worth seeing three times even. You can certainly, many of you are expert in your field in the areas that are being discussed, both by Clint and the research of Walter Burian. So I encourage you to look at the Corporation Nation. Clint, I'm going to say goodnight, and I wish you well, and look forward to your next appearance on the 21st on Evident Footprints.
Good night, sir.
Okay, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and tonight's guest, Clint Richardson. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network. All over at BBS Radio, want to thank Seth Hendrick on the sound, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be former U.S. Marine Drew Malone Raines III. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light. That means you too, Tammy. And a good night.